Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, then portions of chapter 28. First out of 27, beginning at verse 57, Joseph, and that's Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and placed it in his own new rock-hewn tomb and rolled a great stone across the entrance as he left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting nearby watching. And then out of chapter 28, verses 5 through 6, then the angel spoke to the women, and this is now Sunday morning when Mary and Mary Magdalene have come to the tomb. And the angel said, "Don't be frightened. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he isn't here. For he has come back to life again, just as he said he would." And then out of chapter 28 of Matthew, later, verses 18 to 20, and this is after Christ had risen and before he ascended into heaven, this is what the gospel says. Jesus told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, you are to go and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the world." It was 9 years ago when the surgeon called me with the news that our precious 5-year-old basset hound named Luke wasn't going to make it. He had developed a cancerous tumor, undetectable until it was too late, which quickly spread, covering 85% of his stomach. Surgery couldn't remove it, and Luke continued to get weaker and weaker in the days that followed until that last day when he died. And Luke, as some dogs become my dog, would be everywhere I was every moment. The next day after Luke died, Nathan drove to Gainesville from Tampa with our youngest granddaughter, Ellie, to help Linda and me bury Luke's body in a special spot in the backyard. Hannah, our elder granddaughter, was in school or she would have been there as well. While Nathan and I prepared the gravesite in the backyard, Linda and our 4-year-old Ellie gathered flowers from around the yard, all kinds of every shape, of every size and color. And then Ellie assisted Nathan and me by jumping into the hole that we had dug, troweling away her share of dirt. As we were about to lower Luke's body into the gravesite that we had prepared, Ellie, having just joined all of us from gathering flowers to pet Luke one last time, looked into my eyes as if to say, quote, "Okay, enough of this make-believe," close quote, and shared one last hopeful plea, almost as an appeal to me to do something she was sure I could do. Quote, "Granddaddy, I want him to be alive," close quote. Tears flowed again, hearing Ellie express what were our own heartfelt hopes. We had fought for weeks to save his life, but it wasn't enough. Not here anyway. Not on this side of heaven. Not now. A life so precious, so full of grace and joy, gone much too soon. "I do too, sweetie," I mumbled through tears, but I was helpless to do anything to fulfill her plea. The way we felt that morning as we buried the body of our precious Luke was the way it must have been for Mary and Mary Magdalene and the disciples early that Sunday morning years ago as they rose to face a hopeless day. "Jesus, I want you to be alive," they thought, believing he was dead, wishing he wasn't dead. We're headed to Easter Sunday, my friends, again this week. And we remember, looking back, that on Friday, just 3 days earlier, Jesus was hanging on the cross. His friends and disciples had watched while he was spit upon, whipped to a bloody pulp, and mocked on the cross. They watched as he breathed his last breath on the cross, and then his body was taken away to be buried. They watched as the huge stone was rolled in front of the entrance to the tomb that he was laid in. Then they just sat and watched some more and waited. For what? They weren't sure. Maybe something would happen. If you listen across the centuries, you can almost hear them whispering, "Jesus, we want you to be alive. This is not how the story was supposed to end. We want you to be alive." And if the story ended there, it would not be much of a story. But as you and I know today, over 2,000 years later, that's not how the story ended. Mary and the disciples had forgotten what their Lord had said he would do 3 days later. They hung their heads, defeated, believing Jesus had breathed his last breath, unable to see that Sunday had come, unable to believe that he was alive. And I suspect, if we're honest with ourselves, some of us feel like that today, like Mary and the disciples did that morning so long ago. We know today what they didn't know then, and yet we still have too many dark mornings like that one they woke up to so many years ago. We've lost a loved one. An illness has returned. Finances are tight, and the future of our job is uncertain. A friend turns out to be not the friend we thought they were. Our children are going through things that we can't seem to help them with. We've all been there, unable to see the sunlight coming our way just beyond the horizon. But that's not the rest of the story. And then they see that the tomb is empty. And the angel says, "He is not here. He is risen. Go and tell the others and tell his disciples the empty tomb." Maybe there is hope after all, they thought. Maybe he is alive. But where is he? They wondered as they ran to tell the others. And if the story ended there, it would still not be much of a story. An empty tomb, an empty hole in the ground, still not much of a story. But then they see him, and they knew he was alive. Christ their Lord was risen from the empty tomb. Their hope in tomorrow has been restored. Christ their Lord was risen. The cross, the empty tomb, the risen Christ for them and for you and me, forever with him. But even that's not the end of the story. What then is the rest of the story? Well, listen again to what Christ told his disciples after he rose from the now empty tomb, after he has defeated death on the cross, and before he ascended into heaven. He says, back in chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all the commands I've given you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the world." But what does that mean in our lives today and in the days ahead? During a trip recently to Washington, D.C., I watched the movie on the plane entitled The Man Who Invented Christmas, and it's the story of Charles Dickens, his writing of the story A Christmas Carol. Not known as a great theologian, in his 1843 classic, A Christmas Carol, Dickens gave us a glimpse into what the rest of the Easter story just might look like through the central character in his book, Ebenezer Scrooge. Scrooge, as you remember, is a miserly, miserable, pathetic man with more money than he knew what to do with and a soured, sad, and lonely life. But he was given a chance to change his life into something different than it was by the visitation of three ghosts on Christmas Eve. First, he was visited by the ghost of Christmas past, showing him who he had become and his wasted life of greed. Then the ghost of Christmas present showed him the despair of humanity, the crippling illnesses of children of all ages in the world, and in particular of Tiny Tim, the son of Bob Cratchit, who slaved away for pennies in Scrooge's office. It was a despair which Scrooge had turned his back to, all for the sake of money, all for the sake of himself. And finally, he was visited by the ghost of Christmas future, who showed him what it will be like if he continued on the course he was on, a dead Tiny Tim and an empty hole in the ground, in a dark cemetery, awaiting a funeral that no one would attend, his funeral. It was an empty hole in the ground that the Spirit showed him that was meant for him, and no one would care. And as you know, those Christmas Eve visitations of the three ghosts changed him. He began to live his life for others, not for himself. He began to live the life which he was meant and created to live. The cross, it's part of the story. An empty tomb, still a part of the story. The risen Christ, alive and hope for all the world, a part of the story. The risen Christ for you and me, our personal Savior, another part of the story. Answering the call of the risen Christ upon each of our lives to go and make disciples, to touch and serve a lost and hurting world with the love and the hope of the risen Christ, the last part of the story. And now we have the rest of the story. The message of Easter that we celebrate again in a few days is that Jesus Christ died but has risen and is alive for us and that He is there to meet us in the most desperate and most joyous moments of our lives. The message of Easter also is that while Christ meets us where we are in our moments of need, He also calls us to follow Him into the world. He sends us out to be His hands, His feet, His heart for all the world. He is calling us to meet others at their point of need in the most difficult days of their lives, to show and share His love throughout the world. Granddaddy, I want Him to be alive. He is, sweetie. He is. For you and for me, Christ the Lord is risen today. And now what in the world will you and I do with Him and for Him and for others for the rest of our lives? The rest of the story to go with the risen Christ there for you and for me into all the world, making an eternal difference in the lives of others for the rest of our lives. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank You for the reminders every day of Your presence in our lives, but also thank You for the reminders of the full story, the story of Easter, the story of the empty tomb and the risen Christ for each of us, Lord, and also the call through that on our lives to make a difference in the world with You and for You, to be who You were, even to Judas, who You washed His feet at that Last Supper, to everyone. To be servants with You and for You to those around us who need a lift up in life. Thank You. Thank You for the message. Thank You for the reminder. Thank You for Your Son. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.